What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's week 9. We're diving into the madness, and I've got two of the best here on the biz. We got Jay and Eric coming in to hang out, talk a little rankings, dive deep. How you fellas doing?
Every time I hear that intro music, I feel like I could go fist fight a grizzly bear. It gets you going. I feel like that's the music that was playing when Cam Scataboo was born.
I love it.
Clearly. And for me, honestly, it's the howl. I feel like we're some wolves just running to the woods, getting ready for week number 9.
Yeah. Definitely tried to get some sort of like a spooky howl in there on the Halloween episode yesterday. It didn't turn out well at all. Didn't we botch that one? It's me that tries it. So it was all me botching it. But the episode yesterday, Mario and I diving through the week 9 preview, I'm sorry, talking about all those starts and sits, and we had a handful of, a few we didn't quite disagree on. So we had to bring two of the best analysts we have here at QB List to dive deep, really check out what we have and figure out what's happening here. So without further ado, folks, let's dive into this Broncos-Texans game, because this has honestly brought the most questions. One of the ugly... We got 5 games over 50 points.
I saw that.
Three more over 47, and then we got this one.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Watch this be the highest scoring game of the week, just because.
I think it will be.
God, this one's gross. I mean, you know what? And
Texans fan as well, too, so we can get some insight over here. A very unbiased statement, I may add.
Of course. Completely tell on myself by saying I think what is currently slated to be one of the lowest scoring games of the week might actually shoot out. I'm completely here for it. I'm super interested with how this one plays out with Patrick Surtain sidelined, right? The Broncos have been scoring a ton over the last few weeks, and now arguably the most capable weapon in terms of shutting down what is presumed to be a returning Nico Collins is going to be sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks. So I think this one goes over at minimum, but it could shoot out.
Yeah, don't say that, because I just picked up the Texans defense in my home league to play this week. So I would prefer if that's not the case.
I mean, that's fine. They'll get sacks, right? Sacks lead to turnovers. Turnovers lead to points.
There you go.
And that's kind of what I'm leaning into. Like, starting off here with Bo Nix, fading him big time, updating the ranks. You'll be able to check those out over there on QBList.com. But I've got him closer to 20 than I do 10 right now. So help me, talk me off the ledge here. I'm fading most pieces in this, including the quarterbacks.
No, I'm with you. I think that's the right call. I mean, people are going to look at us like, you're benching the guy that has 8 combined touchdowns over the last 2 games, but there's just a little bit of difference facing the Giants and Dallas versus going against Houston, who is the toughest matchup for quarterbacks. So apologize about my voice. It's all scratchy here, but, you know, 'tis the season.
Get a little choked up talking about Bo Nix. Apparently, I'm the most bullish of everyone here, and I thought I was fading him by putting him all the way down at QB 13 coming off of his recent performances. So, I mean, look, the quarterback ranking side is kind of formulaic for me. You know, guys that can do a little bit with their legs always get a bit more of a boost than those dudes that kind of fall in like the 15 to 25 range. So he's near the top of that, but I am liking a little bit more scoring in this game. So I've got him just outside QB1 territory.
Jay, would you be pivoting to Joe Flacco? It looks like he should be playing, limited in practice coming into the week, but all signs point to we should have him over Browning. Like, are you pivoting to like a Flacco, a Darnold, or a Stafford over Bo Nix this week?
Yeah, I would. In my initial rankings, haven't completed my update that goes out on Saturday, but my initial rankings, I had Nix at 17, Stafford 11, Flacco at 13. So I'm pretty comfortable based on the matchup. You know, Eric, you're 100% right. He could make us look very silly for putting him this low. He's looked pretty decent here recently, but again, it's the matchup. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring game, even without Patrick Surtain. Although I will say, Nico Collins did practice today. Christian Kirk practiced in full today as well, so they are getting some weapons back. But you gave me a little smirk. Am I wrong on that?
I think one of those things is good for the offense, that being Nico Collins potentially returning, right? Christian Kirk, I would much rather see Jalen Noel completely supplant him into the starting lineup. And despite not having Nico Collins last week, getting the Iowa State trio and specifically the two youngsters more run, it seemed to add a little bit of juice to this offense, right? Maybe it was that, or maybe it was the Texans running six O-linemen out there and running jumbo a ton and actually giving C.J. Stroud some time to pass the ball. But either way, I would much rather see Jalen Noel out there than Christian Kirk, healthy or not.
Same. I'd agree with that one. How are you guys looking? Like, Courtland Sutton and Nico Collins, like, now 12-team leagues, you may not have the ability to fade them, but I am fading them. I've got them a lot lower, more of that fringe wide receiver three, wide receiver two for me. Like, I like Wandale Robinson, I think, more than Sutton this week. Like, crazy play, crazy, but, like, I mean, names like Debo, Wandale, T. Higgins, I don't know. I can't find my... Nico's been on my bench in one league for a month and a half.
No, I think that's a good call. And actually, I had a question regarding who it was. Nico Collins and Jalen Waddle. I put the start sit on Reddit every Thursday morning and go through and answer questions throughout the day. And one of them was, you know, am I crazy to sit Nico Collins for Jalen Waddle? And like sitting there, like initially, like there's no way you're doing that. But you sit and break it down and yeah, you're doing that. I looked through and it's close, but, and it was that point total was the tiebreaker for me. That's the little details that I like to go and look, and they both have a team implied total around 21-22 is a push, but it's an extra 10 points projected by Vegas that is going to go off in that Ravens Dolphins game. And it's an extra chance for some fantasy points to be sprinkled on Jalen Waddle.
And of course, we are recording this right before kickoff on Thursday Night Football, so we're hoping we see the magic. You guys just got to witness Waddle continuing his streak. Three of the last four games have been great since we lost Tyreek Hill. Eric, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what Jalen Waddle can do this week, but I do have him below Nico Collins. I've got Nico Collins all the way up at number 10. He, in my mind, as a wide receiver, is among the elite in the NFL. Obviously, we have now well documented my thoughts that I think this game scores a bit more than projected. But more than anything, the absence of Patrick Surtain means that Nico Collins is running in the coverage predominantly of Riley Moss, who essentially does his best turnstile impersonation every single week in the secondary. The only thing that could potentially limit Nico's productivity this week is Riley Moss also gets a little bit handsy, and you usually don't get fantasy points for that, right? So that's really the only downside outcome for me. But with that, Nico's up at number 10. Waddle is up at number 12. So I would be trying to find a way to start both if I was in that circumstance.
Wow, we got a split there on Nico. That's quite the gap that you and I have on him. Yeah, definitely reassessing.
Nico at 20. You have him as of the initial rankings, I'm at 20. Brian, you're at 24. And right beside is there's Eric with his nice shiny pen. So
sticking my homer neck out.
Man.
Yeah, slight bias.
I'm looking at Courtland Sutton more like the range that you guys have Nico this week. He's sitting at number 22 for me right now.
I have Sutton 19 and Nico 20, so right beside each other.
Courtland Sutton's going to probably land right around 28 for me, as I was messing with my rankings before this. This defense with Houston is for real, and not a defense that you like, because it ruins fantasy days for you, and that's not fun. Come on, be more like the Colts. Put up points out the wazoo. Let up points out the wazoo. Come on, AFC South doing it right up there in Indy. Woo!
But they're also getting lots of sacks and lots of turnovers. So they are. They're. You're right. I agree. Be like the Colts, Eric. Why don't you tell the Texans to be like the Colts?
Yeah.
How far of a driver are you from?
Red phone directly to the front office and coaching staff. I'll let them know.
Nice. Let's slide over here to the Vikings-Lions game here. I think they're set up for a lot of great pieces as far as like the stud of studs. But when you get to wide receiver twos on both sides, this will be Jordan Addison's first game playing with J.J. McCarthy. Jameson Williams has had two good games this year. That's it. We got reports coming from the coaches that they want to get them more involved because we haven't heard that one before. Yeah. But where are you guys looking
that's at shape of his
two?
Life.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, what were you? I rudely interrupted you with a terrible joke.
All good. I know. Just like, where? I mean, who would you prefer out of the two? And are both of them making your lineups this week?
At this point, I'm not starting J-Mo anywhere until I start to see some production out of him. I think I've said it before on this show where he's the type of guy that if you roster him, he's in there each and every week because it's going to be impossible to decipher those blow up weeks. But they haven't happened enough this year to make it worth the risk. And I like, even though the Lions defense is not giving up a lot of yardage through the air, they have given up a lot of passing touchdowns. They're tied with the Ravens, Saints, and Colts. See, they're like the Colts. That's why we like them. They're like the Colts, allowing 15 passing touchdowns on the season. So there's a pretty solid chance that Addison is going to be able to get into the end zone. I think he's, usually a middle high end wide receiver too. I think because of the matchup, more of a low end borderline wide receiver too, but I'm willing to start him with the chances that he gets into the end zone.
I'm in almost complete lockstep with my friend, Mr. Felicio. J-Mo is a guy that I have been avoiding like the plague really everywhere that I can, right? In part, that's because I didn't draft very much of him. If you did, I mean, you're probably kind of pot committed. You did so knowing that it's going to have booms and busts. And if you're trying to figure out which game it is, you're probably going to miss on a lot of those booms. So, I think that's really the only flex case that you can make for J-Mo is just, you're pot committed at this point. Addison, I have a lot of exposure to Addison in Dynasty, but he still continues to perplex me, a player that sees his type of target share and still manages to find the end zone seemingly without fail almost every single week, right? Obviously, he's only played four games this season, but has already found the end zone twice, made it up over 100 yards in one of those games where he didn't find the end zone. So, similar boom or bust profile, but I believe the floor to be much higher for Jordan Addison, and the ceiling looks to be as high, if not higher as well. J.J. McCarthy is the only wild card in that equation. If you look at pretty much every single advanced quarterback statistic, J.J. McCarthy is at or near the bottom, except for average depth of target, where he's currently QB number two, chucking it 9 yards down the field on average. So that could actually be a balancing force for Addison's production this week.
Hey, J.J. McCarthy's trying to make Anthony Richardson look good, and I'm here for it, okay? I'm here for it. Cam Ward right now is doing A-Rich so many favors, so I'm loving it. Does look like the Lions are going to be, again, without DJ Reed and Terrion Arnold. They're two top corners, so without them, I think you can have a little bit more just variability going on with that. And look, Dan Campbell, he does not pull up. He drops his foot on the pedal, especially in divisional games. So even if McCarthy struggles, we get some garbage time points. Look, JJ, all you have to be is like 2/3 of a Nick Mullins. That's all we're asking here at this point. Just come on, man. Give me some points.
2/3 of a Nick Mullins. I love it. What's that conversion with Troop Bucks to Nick Mullins? What's that? Is it?
Calculations just not pulling up there. Something with the unicorns. Yeah.
I don't know what the dollar value is, but I do know that if he pulls it off, it's going on his resume. JJ McCarthy, headline, 2/3 of Nick Mullins.
That's a shirt right there. We need to get Nick to make some QB-less shirts with that on there.
Let's talk some of these Jacksonville wide receivers. Brian Thomas Jr.
We have to,
because Travis Hunter was finding his way onto waiver wires right before the blow up week there in London. And of course he blows up right before the bye week. So if you had him, you had to hold him through the bye. He's starting to look a little bit more as the Chris Godwin in Liam Coleman's offense last year, hoping this trend continues, but all talks are, they want to treat him more like the one, and I'm here for it as having, a little bit of exposure to Hunter. So where, like, who do you guys have above, and then where's the confidence level on these two? Not all at the same time.
I've still got Ryan Thomas Jr. ahead of Travis Hunter, but they are as close as they've ever been, and they're both firmly in wide receiver two territory. I've got BTJ sitting at wide receiver number 24. I've got Travis Hunter a few spots down at 28, right? Very promising to see the snap percentage and the route participation tick up and up and up for Travis Hunter, right? That was really the only knock or question mark for him heading into the season. I still think that the way that they're utilizing him is a bit fluky, right? It's a lot of plays down the field. It's a lot of 50-50 balls that he's having to go up and win. You know, for me to ostensibly make the flip where Hunter is being consistently ranked ahead of BTJ, I just want to see them kind of diversify the way in which they get the ball to Travis Hunter. And coming out of the bye week is a perfect time to do that. So I would love it if they make me eat this decision, and I will happily switch their spots for weeks to come if they do.
Nice.
So I only get full disclosure. I missed about half of what you said because my son was at the door knocking, saying if I was done with recording the podcast. So
he wants to know about Travis Hunter. Come on.
What I said.
Exactly.
Please just read
he was
face.
Actually, he was coming to tell me that Stephen Curry just did something. So Curry must have done something right now. But
and to start BTJ.
I'm with you, Eric. I'm not ready to write off BTJ as the number one on this offense just yet. And what you said about it, you know, being kind of fluky plays and down the field jump balls and stuff like that. I will agree to a certain extent. They did start to use him in other ways in this game. They used him in the screens. The touchdown was it was a beautiful post route he just dumped it right over the DB's head. It was actually a good pass from Trevor Lawrence for once. But that being said, I'm not confident that he's going to be on the field more. You know, we've heard it. We've heard everything from them saying, oh, he's going to be, you know, play 80%. He's going to play this. He's going to play that. And it doesn't come to fruition. So I believe this is his first game of the season with more than 50 receiving yards or something along those lines. I want to see it more than once before I'm ready to start making that kind of accusation that he's going to be the wide receiver one on this team.
Oh, plain scared. That's all I'm hearing. Let's go, Travis Hunter. We're putting him back in that lineup back. Like I've had him in my lineup since week two. But you know what I'm saying here.
Have you wanted to have him in your lineup, or is it just you have no other choice?
I wanted to do something with him. I'm sitting there staring at him. Like, literally, I don't know if y'all, like, JSN last year was crap for 7-8 weeks. Blew up. I almost dropped him on his blow-up week because the next week he went on his bye. And literally, it was the same situation. He blew up, and now all of a sudden, well, I can't drop him. I got to hold on to him.
Yep.
And, of course, we got the JSN that we have now. But, like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lose out on this opportunity here. Immense talent, like breaking tackles. It just, he makes me feel better about having him in my lineup than BTJ does so far this year.
He makes me feel better about myself in general, to be honest.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I'm taller than him, so like clearly I must be better than him at football. You know, I just don't have the time to play, clearly.
I'm not taller than
Matt's checking out there.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the math check. I guess where else are we going? I wanted to love this.
Here. I do have a question for you guys. What are you doing with ETN at this point? Like, is he still an every week start? And I shout out to Sperry who sent me this tweet from somebody earlier today about the one and only Mr. Tank Bigsby rushing yards in October. Travis Etienne, 120 yards on 32 attempts. Tank Bigsby, 109 yards on 9 attempts. So feel a little vindicated, even though that's not taking into consideration all the context. But I'm not going to bring that up because it proves my point, and that's what I want to do. But
that's what we're cherry-picking.
Exactly. That's the best part. But Etienne really has not done much of anything over the past, three straight games under 10 fantasy points. He blew up for 124 rushing yards in week four and then 49, 27, 44. Hadn't gotten the end zone. He's still getting the work through the passing game. But, man, I got to say, I don't consider him somebody you have to put in your lineup, especially against the Raiders defense. That has actually been halfway decent against the run.
For me, just his usage, I have to have him as an RB2. He is my bottom RB2. He is the most unsexy RB2. I really actually don't
he's
think
a
I had much
guy. Don't talk to them about it too.
I mean, it's hard to see with that helmet on and everything, but I don't have a much exposure to him. I do have a lot of Tootin exposures. Hopefully this isn't biased, but Tootin's a player I really want to own. I'm not really playing him unless I'm rocking a double flex or something like that. But I believe, as we've seen, all the tweets that are hitting Twitter right now, these rookies, they ramp up in the second half. So he's a player I want to own because I think Travis Kelce's opportunity to lose his spot is immense.
Travis Kelce plays for the Jaguars?
Travis Etienne.
He does not. Travis Etienne plays for the Jaguars. I think he is of above average attractiveness.
All good.
But I also... I've got him firmly in that RB2 territory for now, right? You love to see those spike weeks where he's getting north of 100 yards, but you know, the downside is still pretty protected because of that role as a pass catcher, right? He's still liable to get you 10-12 points as a floor, and he has the upside and the type of usage in this offense that you know, really doesn't lead to a lot of being scripted out of the rotation. So you know, a player that I had closer to RB1 territory after the first few weeks of the season, now sliding back a little bit, but I don't think I'm going to be ranking him, you know, past this RB2 range before anytime soon, at least.
How many more games under 10 points would it take? I'm just curious. Like, I'm not. One more?
Fair enough. I'm ready to jump ship.
I'm not ready to jump ship. It would take a quarter. No, I think it would really be more about the emergence of a Bashaul Tootin before it's about, you know, his Travis Etienne's actual production, right? You know, if we're looking at a game where, whatever, Etienne finds the end zone and he's now at, you know, 12, 14, 15 points, whatever, but the snap and the opportunity share spikes wildly in the direction of Bashaul Tootin, then I'm scared, and I'm probably trying to look for an opportunity to sell Travis Etienne. But if his workload remains pretty stable, I'd be comfortable keeping him there for a good stretch.
Yeah, almost feels like one of those guys. He may not necessarily lose you a week, but he's not winning it for you at all, right. Travis Etienne. Right. Let's talk about other running backs I'm scared of. I got to bring up Alvin Kamara here. He's getting the rookie. Can we really call this guy a rookie? Like, he's nearly our age at this point. Like, he's closer to 30 than he is 20. Tyler Shuck's getting the start for the Saints. Alvin Kamara, I have to have him in as an RB2. I say have to. It feels wrong taking him any lower. He's a starting running back. But where's the radar with you guys? Like,
I initially had him as an RB2. And as I was writing the start sit last night, I changed him to a sit, and I wrote it's a tough pill to swallow, but even though he's a lead back, he's not an every week starter. Since he had a 17 point game in week 2, he scored fewer than 13 points in every single game. His offense isn't going to get much better with Mr. Shuck. And even, you know, there was a concern with Kendre Miller was going to take the role. He got hurt. Now Devin Neal's coming in and honestly looks better than Kamara. Like, I understand, you know, that rushing the ball has never really been what has been so valuable for Alvin Kamara, which doesn't make a lot of sense with a running back. But it's one of those situations where it's hard to put the guy with the name on your bench. And that being said, the last time I said it might be time, that was Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, and they both had 2 touchdowns. So take that for what it's worth. And maybe if Alvin Kamara has 2 touchdowns this week, then, you know, I have the reverse curse powers, I guess you could say.
Nice. I'm going to start feeding you some of my players to tell them you're fading.
But if he winds up getting in the end zone, it's one of those situations I can live with it. Like, I know I'm taking a risk by benching a guy like that, but I don't see the upside that was once there, and the floor is pretty much non-existent.
He also makes me feel afraid. The only thing that had me bump him up my rankings a little bit is reports out of New Orleans that Devin Neal is tending to an ankle injury. If it wasn't for that reporting, and his availability this week is still in question, but if it wasn't for that reporting, I would have Alvin Kamara markedly lower, namely because in this game, the first one without Kendre Miller, we saw Kamara not step up and take the usage that was left behind by Miller. We saw all of it go to Devin Neal's direction and even more as they proceeded to get blown out, right? So, you know, it would be one thing if Alvin Kamara, you know, kind of regained that bell cow role when Kendre Miller went down, but it doesn't look like that's how the Saints want to use him, right? So he's going to be a pretty tough start, you know, kind of fringy flex play in weeks where Devin Neal is healthy and taking such a chunk of that workload.
Well, cool. Let's play a quick little game then. How about that? Jay, you don't get to play the first game or the first round anyway. Alvin Kamara or Ken Walker, Eric? Because I know Jay's
answer. I'll still go Alvin Kamara.
Jay, you going Ken Walker with me?
100%. No hesitation.
Me too.
The upside's still there. Even with the split carries, I think there is a much greater chance of Ken Walker breaking one and taking it to the house than there is for Alvin Kamara.
Yes, but the ways in which Alvin Kamara can score points are far more diversified than breaking one and taking one to the house, right?
Look, Eric, if you're going to come in here and bring logic to the Ken Walker conversation, you're just not going to be invited to the next one. Come on. Okay? Yeah.
You're right.
This
I'm
is
sorry.
Your last chance. How do you feel about Kyle Pitts?
You know, he's like a tight end version of Ken Walker.
Oh, God.
Love him.
Stop it. All right.
Am I doing good now?
Actually, really good comparison.
Am I doing it?
Alvin Kamara or Breshad Smith in the game against the Bills with Pacheco missing the game?
I've still got Kamara.
Is this me?
Either one.
Okay. I really, 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 really want to say Breshad Smith, but I was none too happy that he basically did not play against Washington. I think that it's going to be the Kareem Hunt show with Pacheco out. So Alvin, I think I do have to go Kamara.
Alvin Kamara or Woody Marks?
Oh. Do you see that smile on Eric's face when you said Woody Marks? I do have to give Eric his flowers. He has been talking up Woody Marks since, I believe, 2021, something along, when he was still in middle school. Now, he was the first guy that I personally saw talking up Woody Marks, and he's been doing it since before it was cool. But, yeah, I'm going Woody Marks, no hesitation, and I'm sure Eric is going Alvin Kamara.
I am also going Woody Marks. He's one of my favorite names. It's like Woody Marks and Chase Brown are the two guys in the running back category when I'm looking at our QBL staff rankings that I am just perpetually the highest on of everybody. So no changing serve here. Certainly keeping a starting Marks over Kamara.
Last one, Kamara or Bill? We got Krosky Merritt.
Going Kamara without... I don't want to start Bill anywhere.
No. Bill is essentially like tiers below Derrick Henry, but in that same realm I look at, if the game script's bad, he's gone.
Whoa. Don't ever put Bill in the same breath as
we drop tiers. We're dropping tiers, but the archetype is, I guess,
I'm sorry.
I'll do you one better. Like a tiered down Derrick Henry, like a Ken Walker, like that type of player, right?
Get out of here. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about a hyped-up running back that might finally get his due this week. Ramondre Stevenson. Again, we're recording this Thursday night. Ramondre Stevenson not making practice on Thursday. It looks like it's going to be Henderson and Jennings. They're talking about trading for a running back. Won't happen before Sunday. Or at least he won't be playing by then, most likely.
I don't know with Mike Vrabel. You never know.
Yeah, actually, I just got a call from Vrabel. Looks like I'm starting at running back. Okay, cool. Even better. Look at that.
The first carry, fumble the ball. He loves that.
That's what Henderson did it last week. He did what Vrabel likes. Like this should
be the skeleton key.
Bam.
Vrabel is smitten now, right? Like this is what we were waiting for. He needed to get enough. He needed to get enough touches so that he could have a timely and woeful fumble and earn his way into Vrabel's heart.
So if there's ever a week you feel comfortable playing Henderson, it's got to be this one though, right?
Comfortable? No, I'm not. I don't, as long as Mike Vrabel's in there, I lost the chance of feeling comfortable starting Henderson when both what's his name, Gibson and Ramondre Stevenson fumbled, and they still got the carries. But yes, I'm with you. I'm gonna have a tough decision now because I did originally throw Bam Knight in my lineup instead of Travion Henderson, but now it's gonna be a decision if Ramondre Stevenson is out. What would you guys do there? Not asking for a friend.
I like Bam this week. I've got him top 17.
I'm going Bam Knight there. Yeah. Yep. Another player that I've been out on a limb for or with since Benson went down. I was trying to go galaxy brain and that figure out backup Cardinal situation. And we've got one more week. We've got one more week of Bam Knight, and he gets the golden matchup. So I think you got to go there with Hendo. I am probably starting him where I've got him, but to Jay's point, I don't feel good about it in my feelings. We go back only 2 weeks ago when the Patriots were in the midst of a blowout game, and it seemed like it was going to be a bit of extra run for Travion Henderson, and they said, gotcha, it's Terrell Jennings getting 9 snaps that seemingly should have gone to Henderson. So just because Stevenson is questionable or presumably out doesn't mean that it is a sure thing that Henderson sees that uptick. But, man, I really hope that he does.
It should be. Henderson
must have done something, like kicked Vrabel's dog or hit on his wife or something like that. Like, dude, there's no other explanation.
I think it was Bill Belichick's dog that drafted him, right? Like, he still had to log in to the draft system. He's like, I know. Bink.
What do you mean it's not a wide receiver? It's not a wide receiver. They should be able to do well.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to chip in there, Eric. They said that Trey Benson might actually not be back next week, so it could be more than 1 week, ooh, additional week for Bam Knight. So they said it's not necessarily a sure thing. That was as of yesterday. What was the trade?
What was it? It was Benson and Keenan Allen for Michael Pittman.
I love that.
Yeah, I've been making quite a few trades this past week. Everybody's just sitting next to someone. Let's go.
Gadsden Kittle trade, man. That's some beat as well.
Yeah, it's been a dry trade year for me like the first 6 weeks, but the last couple weeks, for some reason, people are just accept. I'm all about it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. DeAndre Swift looks like he should be missing this week. Either way, Kyle Manunga has been cutting into his work. But without Swift there, Roshan Johnson also missed practice this week. So it looks like it's going to be Manunga and Travis Homer. You guys remember him? Manunga, I mean, is he just a set it and forget it this week with an empty backfield going up against Cincinnati?
Yeah, he has to be. I mean, he's pretty much game script proof. If they're up, they're going to run him. If they're not, he's still going to be out there. So I would hope that Caleb Williams would be able to take advantage of the matchup, but he wasn't able to do it the past 2 weeks, so really don't know what to think there. But yeah, he's done good. He's been earning his reps already, and yeah, I think he's somebody that if you have him, he's in your lineup.
Yeah, Kyle Manungai jumped up a ghoul 21 spots from my original rankings.
Is that English?
Yeah.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
No, you know I do not. A solid 20 spot jump in light of the DeAndre Swift news, who was previously sitting inside my top 10 at the position. For me, really, the only variability is whether or not the Bengals are able to see Joe Flacco keep this one competitive. But even if he's not out there, scoring upside would be limited a little bit from an unguy, but he's certainly would see plenty of touches as the Bears presumably salt away a pretty easy win against the Flacco-less Bengals.
No, Flacco's playing, I believe, right?
Limited practice last Thursday is what I saw.
Last I saw, legitimate 50-50 was the most recent reporting, but I'm a few hours behind.
Well, let's play that game then. Let's have Browning. Browning gets the start. Are you guys fading? I mean, Jamar Chase, you can't, but is T. Higgins a sit for you if Browning's out there?
He is for me.
I wouldn't say a sit. T. Higgins, really? I was surprised when I was looking things up this week. T. Higgins, like, has the perception that, you know, because Joe Flacco's pretty much elevated the entire offense. Higgins really hasn't been that much different with and without Browning. I think if you're comfortable starting him with Flacco, I think you're comfortable starting him with Browning, especially against Chicago.
It's hard for me. It's hard. Like, you know, the first four games without Flacco, he had one touchdown, and that was really the one usable week. The last 4 weeks, he's had three touchdowns in the last four games, and that's kind of helped propel him a bit. And that's what I worry. Like, Jake Browning had a hard start. Like, the three, four games that he was playing, very rough defenses that he was playing. So it's hard to, like, take all of that away and give it to Flacco. But at the same time, he is still a backup. You know, he is still just a backup. At least Flacco has the pedigree of being the starter. He can make those quick decisions. He's older. He's smart enough to pull that off. So, yeah, I'm willing to fade T. Higgins this week if we do have Browning.
Yeah, looking at the 11 games where T. Higgins has played with Jake Browning, averaging about 11 full PPR points, right? So, like, firmly in that flex territory. But very likely you have options that you feel better about starting over T. Higgins if it is a Browning week.
Okay. You guys are wrong, but that's okay.
Awesome. I'm trying to dig through here. Marvin Harrison, I give a stamp of approval this week. Just throwing that out there.
Wheels up.
Hope so. If he can't get it done here, him and Kyler, then I don't know why. Like, I've got Kyler in my top 10.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The only thing that's working against him is looks like Kyler Murray's going to return. So who knows?
Well, Trey McBride. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the stat when Jacoby Myers. Man, my brain is fried today.
Talking about brisket?
Jacoby Brissett. Already has more passing touchdowns to Trey McBride than Kyler Murray has all of last year and this year.
Yes.
I mean, he's still obviously a must start, but I mean, if we go a couple games with Kyler Murray and he doesn't get him in the end zone, like, do they start calling for old Brissett over Kyler?
They have too much invested. I don't feel like they can. But yeah, over 20 points with Brissett. Prior to that, he hasn't broken 20 points with Kyler the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's been getting the volume. It's just he's not getting the end zone.
I feel so bad for Trey McBride because he was down horrendous being on bye week for National Tight Ends Day. He was just posting on every social media channel, like, what do I do with my hands? And then he comes back and it's like, oh, the guy that likes video games and never targets you in the red zone is your starting quarterback once more.
Call of Duty drops next week.
Okay, is it double XP weekend in the last years? Or
Yeah, hopefully he's fading away from that. Nice. Any other guys y'all want to pull out here before we get out?
I think that's a good list.
No, nice. I don't think there's anybody just trying to look through. I got your boy. It looks like we all have him pretty high. I got Michael Pittman in the top 10. I think he's going to have another nice game. And I did see that the one thing to keep an eye on, Ladd McConkey had a limited practice with a calf injury, I think it was today, which I do not want to see. That's because he's finally starting to turn that corner. But
of course, because I've traded away just about all of my Keenan Allen shares at this point. So, you know, wouldn't be surprised if Ladd's knocked out for multiple weeks, right. You know.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
We can all agree that if Ladd ends up missing time, it's just Gadsden to the moon, right?
I don't think we see
QJ or Keenan Allen all of a sudden reemerge. It's just completely arrow up for Gadsden.
That I'm glad you bring that up, though. I will say, when I was looking at stats and things of that nature while I was writing the article last night, the Chargers have given up a fair amount of deep passing attempts. Let me see exactly what the stats are. Yeah. They've been burned by the deep ball, allowing the second highest completion percentage and the third most passing touchdowns over 20 yards. So there's ever a week for QJ to possibly get right this against the Titans of Tennessee.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, QJ at this point, he is a Kayshon Booty, a Troy Franklin to me. It's, you know, you're looking for the big, like, it's nothing but post runs, or not post, go routes for him lately. Like, that ain't getting it done. Not on consistency.
Nope.
Grody. Well, fellas, let's put a bow on it. Let's put this thing to bed. We got to go finish up Thursday Night Football and go watch Waddle tear it up. Before we get out of here, let the folks know where can they find you if they're looking for more of you.
Eric, you go ahead.
Ooh, all of my words and stuff roll up into my Twitter page. It's at FantasyNav. Now that I think about it, all of those words tend to come from the fine folks here over at the QB List, part of the rankings team, as is everyone here on tonight's podcast, writing up some first-come, first-serve, post-waiver priorities, dissecting defenses, looking at some fool's gold, some guys whose productivity is outpacing their opportunity, all kinds of stuff. Pretty much anything they ask me to do, I'll say yes to it, which is why I'm here tonight, and I was stoked to do it.
Really, let me, I'm going to save that clip and use that to my advantage. But next thing that's coming out for me is on work-wise is a Sunday Best podcast comes out. I record it Sunday nights, comes out Monday during the day. It's basically a quick hitter, 15 to 20-ish minutes, just hitting the biggest stories in a quick hitting format. And I guess I'll say quick hitting one more time just since I said quick hitting a few times. But my start sits drops every Thursday, came out today, posted on Reddit as well, and go through every single game, every fantasy relevant player, and give a call. Some of it is a little deeper, like looking at QJ against the Titans and seeing that they are susceptible to the deep ball. Sometimes it's just I do have to say I have to retire a bit. Every time I wrote about Spencer Rattler, I didn't actually write anything. Mm-hmm. I just had the video of J. Jonah Jameson laughing. And so it's pour one out for J. Jonah Jameson, but I'll come up with something for Tyler Shook.
I'm sure he'll give you plenty of opportunities.
How dare you? How dare you bring up Spencer Rattler after my time speaking is over? No, I love me some Rat King. He'll be back.
King of the Rats over there. He's pushing all of it. Folks, we can't thank you enough for coming to hang out for you. If you're looking for more of my stuff, it's at @too_much_Brian. You can find most of my stuff there on Twitter. I've got my show, Too Much Fantasy Football, if you're looking for a little bit more hijinks and shenanigans with your football analysis. My written words, there's a few of them out there, but it's more of the spoken words. I'm just kind of dumping out whatever comes to me. But, of course, it's all over QBList.com. You've got all the amazing articles, the start sit we get from Jay, the streaming stuff, the buy sells, so many great things. QBList.com, go check it out. Thanks for listening. Give us a review. All that fun stuff. We'll see y'all next time.